B-Pod Studios.
So that's a good take for people to have. That's a great take for people to have. To say, hey, you know what? I have responsibility here. Well, how about this? How about all the takes with our friend Pat Egan? Pat Egan, good morning, my friend.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Hi, Pat. All right, we'll start out with yard signs. All right, who doesn't love a good yard sign? I know I do, okay?
Hate yard signs.
You like a good yard sign.
I love a good yard sign.
What's a good yard sign? If it's not politically, you know.
No, those are the best ones, all right? You support a political candidate, you let the whole neighborhood know. You're changing hearts, you're changing minds.
Make a stand.
It's a yard sign. Okay. I myself remember back in 2008, Bob. Thank you for asking. You know, Mary across the street's going for McCain, but Frank, two houses down, is going for Obama. Who am I going to vote for? Because I like both of them. Yeah. Well, Mary made me cookies, so McCain got my vote. But look, I'm rare for my love of political yard signs, all right? Outside of my house right now, you can find a nice Mondale 84 sign, all right? Letting everyone know, I'm with Walter.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Some people, however, get really upset that their neighbor might actually support a candidate they don't like. I introduce you to Tammy Trump. She is a supporter who saw her neighbor with a Biden-Harris sign and wasn't having it.
Wait, her name is actually Trump?
No.
No, he made that up.
I made that up.
Yeah.
For the sake of the story.
You got to work on your sarcastic tone.
Yeah, yeah. No, if you really pay attention, you'll catch it.
I'll do it again.
I'm tuned in, Pat.
I introduce you to Tammy Trump. Is that better?
Yeah, it's like a TV commercial, but...
Yeah, you're not really doing it right.
Her name's probably Julia. Who cares?
I introduce you to Tammy Trump.
Tammy Trump supporter, all right, who saw her neighbor with a Biden-Harris sign and wasn't having it. She grabbed her HOA bylaws and went storming to her neighbor's door. Take a listen.
Can I help you?
I want to show you something.
I'm sorry, I can't come to the door right now.
Get out your neighborhood bylaws. It's section 5.20. No sign shall be in the yard. If you don't take this Harris Biden down, I will sue you. And I was going to have you sell my house, but that's not going to happen now. And you're going to lose a lot of business because of this crap.
Yeah. So she's going to sell her house, but but the Biden-Harris woman's not going to get that business. That's unfortunate. When the news asked her lawyer to speak on the case of the yard sign, he had this to say.
It's an infringement on your constitutional rights. It's outrageous, egregious, preposterous.
So she's upset. And she
Lawyered up well, though.
She did. Yeah. But she does not share my love of yard signs.
That's a lot of yard signs right there. One of my favorite things from the summer, just because I love America's diversity, has been the shore house that everybody has posted a picture of on social media. Where I think the top people that rented the place, I don't even know if they're renting it or they own it. The top people are like Trump people, and the bottom people are Biden people. Yeah. And they just got signs galore.
We walked by it every day down the shore. It was right near where Don and I rent down the shore, and we walked by it every day and just chuckled.
God bless America.
We chuckled.
In all honesty, did they get along?
I don't know.
There was a story of neighbors in Texas who one was for Trump, one was for Biden, and the whole story was about the fact that they get along. Actually have different political views
because it was a rarity.
And not hate each other, but this one not so much. All right, we'll move on to the Tennessee Covets. They hammered the Buffalo Bills yesterday, 42-16. Wow. This was Tennessee's first game since 25% of the team contracted the coronavirus. And their quarterback Ryan Tannehill had some interesting things to say after the game.
We said a lot of things throughout the past couple of weeks, and things are being said and. You know, personal things that were said against our team, our guys, and really felt uncalled for. So, yeah, we were a little ticked off about how we've been treated, how we've been looked at over the past couple of weeks, and really just stuck together through that process and believed in each other and wanted to come out and play our game and play how we believe in each other and knew we could do. We did that.
So to clarify, the Titans contracted COVID. They held practices at a high school, and they're mad at you, the fan/media member, for pointing it out. So please keep the Titans in your thoughts and prayers from the internet bullies like the CDC.
Can we talk about bullies for a second? That Henry fella?
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Holy hell. Josh Norman got tossed.
He's still flying through the air.
Oh, my God.
on that NFL blitz style stiff arm.
So one of the that became a meme immediately, and it said Titans, yeah. And then Josh Norman was CDC guidelines.
All right, no. Now here's my other thing, Pat. Was that your next thing and all the takes?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I like the community. All the takes when you guys include some stuff like that. That's great. Oh. I didn't include it myself. Uh-huh. But yeah, that's embarrassing for Josh Norman. You hate to see it.
And how about this Tuesday Night Football? Why? Tuesday Night Football, the second time. So back-to-back Tuesday Night Football is 10 years apart. Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier were facing off against each other.
Wow, that's Tuesday that's, Night Football knowledge yeah. by you.
I know sports, whatever.
And Sean McDermott got...
Beaten both of them.
Beaten badly, but yeah.
So and that, did you hear who was on the national telecast last night?
Yes, Tom McCarthy.
Our friend Tom McCarthy.
T-Mac.
Yeah, getting it done.
No Thursday night football game this week, though.
That's a good move by them. Smart.
I don't like it, but it's a good move.
Yeah, I'm not a not that the Thursday night football game is ever good, but...
Thursday night football has been kicking ass this year.
I like watching
right, okay.
it. I do like it.
Ratings-wise, it's been like a juggernaut.
But it's the smart thing to do.
It's been a juggernaut because there's nothing else.
Well, no. It usually is not a juggernaut at all, and Sunday Night Football kicks ass across the board.
But think about it. Usually you have the NBA and the NHL to contend with for Thursday Night Football. Now you have baseball playoffs, but nobody really thinks this baseball season is real. So,
all right. Real quick. The meathead-led Mike Vrabel Titans won sympathy.
Yeah, apparently.
For almost ruining the NFL season.
Well, and that's what I love. I love the fact that they banded together because they were getting picked on.
Good for them.
I can't stand Mike Vrabel. All right. Le'Veon Bell got released. If you missed our interview with Adam Schefter moments ago, Mark, you asked him if the Eagles would kick the tires. Here is what he had to say.
Yeah, I would think they would kick the tires. The money is not going to be very high for him. I think what's going to happen here just is that he went through the situation and played for the Jets the last two seasons. It was nothing but misery and heartache. So I think now when the money is going to be relatively similar all over, he truly is going to play for the love of the game in a place that is going to win. I don't know if Philadelphia fits his criteria.
You tried to hammer him on that at the very end of the interview, but he wasn't giving a yes or no if he thought that...
He needed more information, basically.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound promising. If you want Le'Veon Bell to the Eagles, it doesn't sound promising when you hear that clip because he wants to go to a winner.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And the Eagles are 1-3-1.
And I did tell him, what, a 1-3-1 team isn't a winner in that mindset of Le'Veon Bell? The answer to that is no. See, that's sarcasm.
Okay, I'll try to check the tape and get back to you on that. Do you guys want Le'Veon Bell, though?
Yes. I would take Le'Veon Bell on this team right now if it was just, hey, do you want Le'Veon Bell because he wants to come here? I'd say yes, absolutely.
Yeah, me too. I'm in. Why not? Why not add some talent back there? I got to assume he's better than a Boston Scott right now.
Yeah, I'll give the numbers again. For the people that are all the way in the back that haven't heard the numbers yet, okay? This is our friend Mike Mulhern, NBC Sports Philly, put out the numbers. Miles Sanders, 73 touches this year. Now, that's obviously since he started playing in week two. Since week two, since he started playing, all of the running backs have 20 touches. 20 touches. Yes, get some help in the backfield.
Yeah, but two of them came against San Francisco in that final drive.
That's a good point.
So,
18 touches.
They're picking their spots pretty well.
Averaging 2.6 yards per touch.
Oh, Jamie, do you want Le'Veon Bell? You didn't give your take. This is all the takes, Jamie. You got to give your take.
I want Miles Sanders touching the ball more.
Me too.
So, like, yeah, he's better than Boston Scott and Corey Clement.
Yes.
Do you have any faith they'll actually use
him? Does he play linebacker?
Can he go both ways?
Yeah, that's my question.
I think Adam Gase actually tried to make him play linebacker. I think that was one of the big falling
outs. I mean, who would know the coverage better than a running back that's looking at the coverage constantly, right?
That's how we got Juan Castillo as the defensive coordinator.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's Seth Joyner up to? Is he available?
By the way, Rodney McLeod went at Seth Joyner on Twitter this morning.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw this.
No, I did not.
So Seth yesterday was putting out that final game footage.
I saw that.
And said... It was cover two, yada, yada, yada. And then he walked it back later and said, all right, maybe it wasn't cover two. And then later he said, confirmed, I talked to somebody with knowledge. It is, in fact, cover two. Basically, this is McLeod's fault.
Uh-huh.
And McLeod tweeted Seth this morning, like 40 minutes ago, and said, bro, come on. Doesn't look like cover two. It's not cover two. Get some better sources. Hashtag come on, man.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
That's
bold to do. Got a little ESPN on him. Wow.
out of all the people we've ever had on this station regularly, Seth Joyner terrified me the most. Like, he would be in studio every week, and he just terrified me.
Dude never smiles.
I love that.
No,
guy.
And that's what terrified me. I think I got him to chuckle one time.
I saw him full laugh, and he didn't look like he was enjoying himself laughing.
Yeah, he could break me sneezing, and that's what really scared me the most. But I didn't include this. Did you guys happen to hear Jeff McClain? I'm throwing this in here last minute.
What do you got?
Jeff McClain yesterday with Anthony Organo talking about how Howie Roseman has a huge say in who's active
on
game day.
Yeah, this is becoming a big story.
Yeah.
That's troubling.
I would think it would be up to the head coach, but is this surprising to anybody? Like, ultimately, when we've talked about this, we've talked about Howie Roseman's say in it. I don't think anything is out of Howie Roseman's jurisdiction.
Who is running this football?
The fact that that guy, though, the vanilla chocolate pepperoni sausage guy, is deciding that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is good to go.
Yes.
And Greg Ward can wait till 6 weeks because Mac Hollins is coming in with retro jerseys.
And looking back on it now, 2 weeks ago, Jeff Skaversky put out a video that he later deleted because of all the attention he got. And it was Doug Peterson and Howie talking on the sidelines of like a Wednesday or Thursday practice.
Uh-huh. Oh, he was ripping in on.
And Doug was kind of pointing back at the build. You couldn't see what they were saying, obviously, because it was far away. But it looked like a passionate discussion between the two of them.
Okay.
And it was almost like Doug was like, look, I'm reading body language here. But it was almost like he was pointing back at the building, kind of like, this is my dome. Like, it seems
this
like
is my yard.
This is my domain.
That's your house.
That's your domain.
Yeah.
And I wonder if some of that is Howie, what Jeff said.
Who runs the Eagles? Let's answer your question. Howie Roseman runs the Eagles.
Who owned the Chiefs?
And once in a while, Jeffrey Lurie makes a call.
Slapshot.
Who runs the Eagles?
Owns.
Who runs the Eagles?
God, I would hope that it's separate. I hope Howie Roseman runs the front office and Doug Peterson runs the field.
Well,
Eagles.
That's the way it should be, right?
I would hope.
I doubt that's the case. I don't think that's the case.
What's terrifying is in Philadelphia, we're lucky in the sense that we have two owners in Middleton and in Lurie who realize they're not the sports guys.
But Lurie does meddle.
So a little bit he does, but they're not going to jump in there and Jerry Jones situation. In that sense, we're lucky. But they put their faith in the wrong guys in Andy McPhail.
Who has the most power in the Novacare Complex?
Most power?
Jim's
got to be. No, I say Howie.
Howie Roseman.
But the Jones is draft.
Seth Joyner.
The Jones is draft okay.
Yeah, they don't do that.
Lurie should never get involved with player evaluation.
I concur.
That's why I said that they put their faith in the wrong people.
When I see him go to the Senior Bowl, I cringe.
He's a football guy. According to a report, the NBA is looking at a January 18th start for next season. This would once again have the season ending in October. If this becomes the new norm, do you like the shift in the sports calendar?
I wish still the NBA would start closer to Christmas or on Christmas. I don't like the idea of starting later than that. What was it, January 18th, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little too late for me.
Yeah, I would love the Christmas start.
I always thought hockey starting in September was the dumbest thing ever.
No, it starts in October.
Yeah.
All right, late September, early October.
Yeah. It starts in early October. Yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday about how they kind of get back on track, and I thought they won't do this, but instead of an 80-game season, 65, 70-game season.
Cross your fingers for that.
Zach Greinke is an interesting guy. The Athletic did a great piece a while back interviewing his teammates on the various things that make Greinke unique. Like, for example, you know, he has a tendency to yell to his catcher and thus the batter what he's actually going to throw. The guy doesn't give an SEC violation. Well, Greinke was asked about playing without fans in the stands, and most athletes would give a cookie-cutter answer,
sure.
Right? Well, you know, it's unique, and we certainly miss the fans. We look forward to getting them back in the stadium, home field, yeah. Well, Greinke didn't do that. He said, quote, "For me, it's nice not having fans in the stands because there's no one trying to talk to you and ask for autographs and wanting to take pictures and all that stuff. I don't like any of that stuff." While the Astros are a bunch of cheaters, Greinke is an absolute gem that should be cherished.
Like, what the hell's wrong with that guy? Like, people are trying to get into the stadium. People want to go see him pitch. And he's got to talk about the worst part about it.
He's got a mental situation.
Is he the guy that stiffed Pat Neshek?
What do you mean stiffed?
Didn't he
with the autograph stuff?
Wasn't it?
I think it might have been Greinke.
It might have been.
I think Pat Neshek, who likes getting autographs and signed baseball cards by players around the league, I think went up to him and Greinke was like, "Oh yeah, I'll get you," and then told him to go to hell.
The Athletic piece is tremendous. I mean, they interview a bunch of his teammates about, quote, like, as I said, how unique he is. But in all honesty, he does have a mental situation going. I mean, the 1 year when he was with the Royals, he came to camp and just said, I'm going to be a shortstop.
He also went out and pitched this year when there was no fans and started shouting out what he was throwing.
That's what I'm saying. Welcome to the program.
Right. I blanked out for a second.
The story was so good that it happened to a lot of people out there.
Wow.
And we'll move on to birthdays.
Are we talking about Greinke?
Yeah, we're talking about Greinke.
Oh, okay.
If the Phillies lose 2 or 3 of the Marlins, season's over.
Pat? Is that Pat?
We'll move on and wake everybody up with the birthday segment. Keith Byers.
Hey, very
number 41,
nice.
Ohio State.
Loved Keith Byers.
Phillies?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, I was young.
He was such a disappointment.
Well, see, I was...
He was so much better in college. No, I hear you.
That was when I discovered the Eagles.
Yeah,
so, like, I had no expectations and all that.
What, 4 for 4 throwing touchdown passes out of halfback options. He was left-handed.
Yeah. I loved James Thrash when I was younger, and we all make mistakes. Yes. Joe Girardi's birthday also today.
Ah, 56, Joe.
Wait, did you just bring Keith Byers into a James Thrash comparison? That's not right.
Well, when you were young, he wasn't the best player, and James Thrash wasn't the best player. I'm moving on
today's
to Stephen A. Smith.
Joe Girardi's birthday.
Yeah.
Yesterday was Doc Rivers' birthday. No?
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
Tomorrow is
AV's birthday.
AV's birthday, yeah. And the next day is Doug Peterson. No, I don't know that for
When's
a fact.
Jim Curtin's birthday?
Every day.
That's what I thought.
Union played 8 today. Right. Stephen A. Smith.
Do they?
Yeah.
You should put that in your update.
Stephen A. Smith's birthday.
53.
Archbishop Ryan, the pride of Archbishop Ryan, Frank Wycheck's birthday.
Okay, here you go.
And local guy Floyd Landis. He won the Tour de France, then got hit with doping, and then revealed to the world that our homegrown son, Lance Armstrong, also doped.
Yeah.
Today in history, we go back to 2003.
Again in the air, down the left field line. A line reaching into the stands and couldn't get it, and he's riddled with a fan.
We got introduced to
Bartman?
Bartman.
Ah.
Poor guy.
Oh, wow. Yeah, terrible. I still feel bad for that guy.
Head I know.
All. Yeah, and then this was from 2008.
Stairs rips one into the night. Deep into right. Way. Philadelphia gets a pinch hit, 2-run shot, and the Phillies lead 7-5 in the eighth.
Now, technically this happened yesterday. Yeah. I forgot it, but if you remember, the game was in L.A., and it was so late that I think the home run actually did happen today.
Oh, look at that.
Because I woke up my mother and my neighbor, and our houses weren't connected.
Best
streaming.
Best national broadcast Philadelphia call ever.
Yes, I agree. Best, I was going to say non-Philly.
Yes, non-local.
Yeah, non-local. 1,000%. Stairs ripped on the
gives me goosebumps.
Night. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's one of those you remember exactly where you were when it happened.
Certainly.
And that's why Joe Buck is awesome and should be treasured.
And that...
I love Joe Buck, yeah.
Is all it takes.
There you go. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Now, we ran out of time.
Oh, we did run out of time. My fault.
No,
go. We're on a break.
All right. Coming up.
Way to go, Ian.
We're going to talk.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.